Hello, if you just joined us, you're watching Stockwatch. I'm Simon Brown. I'm tackling your questions in studio this evening. Nick Crail from Ashburton Investments, Rowan Williams from Nitrogen Fund Managers. Don't forget, send those questions through to us, SMS 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using hashtag Stockwatch. Gents, evening, thanks for joining us from this. A green day. I'm usually here on Mondays, and apart from last week, which was a bad Monday. Toppy up 1%, Indy 1.3%, Resi up 0.5%, Finney up 0.7%, but the Rand 14.62. Nick, the Rand is just, I mean, look, it's been worse, you know, Klanklanene, but, you know, 11.55 when President Ramaphosa named his cabinet, it's a big move, and it almost seems to want to go to that 15 level.
Now listen, what are we talking, 26-odd% down from that February sort of, I suppose, strength at 11.55? I suppose what's frustrating about it this time is that I feel that, you know, it's not SA Inc. and own goals that are necessarily to blame for us blowing out spectacularly.
We've had the same rather emerging minister markets for 6 months.
I mean, this is a good performance. and yet, we can still see as much damage as we do. So the Rand, sure, it's you get your Rand call right, and I suppose even looking further afield, but you get your dollar call right, you sort of know where the wind is blowing, but it's certainly tenuous at the moment.
It is, and it's tricky. Currencies are not fun. How important do you see it to get those currencies right, or do you just kind of say over the long term the Rand is weaker, the dollar is stronger, and in 20 years it'll shake out? Yeah. Or are we too old for that?
No, look, I think currencies have got a lot more volatile than they used to be, so it has become a very important factor and input into your investment decision making. So it can be difficult to call, but I think for the longer term you do need to decide how you're going to position your portfolio. The last 2-3 years, okay, there was a sort of period of relative stability that we've had, but it's been a big factor in actually your relative performance. Were you overweight Rand hedge? Were you underweight Rand hedge? And so it remains a very important call. I think what we're seeing is, as you said, it's not own goal related, but there was always a risk of this emerging market sort of contagion, flight to safety. We've been gorging on cheap money for a long time. People have been chasing yield, starting to unwind. I'm happy we're at 11.26 when it sort of started, as opposed to where we are now. So, but it does look quite tenuous.
It could be ugly. We could have been, yeah. Now, if there's some finance ministers, we could have been at 30. Sasol results out today, talking Rand hedges. A little bit down, stock took it off 1% on the day. Lake Charles seems to be coming on stream, costing more, but no one's surprised at that, I'm sure. Your take on Sasol, the results, the stock in particular?
Yeah, so it does remain largely a dollar oil price call, and I guess that has been very positive. We saw a little bit of operational issues. I think they had longer shutdowns than they'd expected. Production was a little bit lower, so parts of the business didn't perform as well as expected. EBITDA a little bit below expectations. The medium term looks reasonable. I think the overall, as you mentioned, Lake Charles, largely on time and on the increased budget, and so I think just a bit of a breather just relative to near-term expectations. But again, yeah, if you like, I guess, a Rand hedge share, it may be an opportunity.
Nicole, we're now in the situation with Sasol where their capex is tailing out with Lake Charles done. They're going to start ramping that revenue there, and they're going to start seeing the real benefits coming through.
Yeah, it's 100% right. So I think, I mean, if you're looking longer term out, so really medium term here, you would expect that this company is going to sort of move away from the way it's historically been priced, which is just Rand Oil, and start pricing in some of the sort of silver chemicals. I mean, this is it's a chunky amount of change to have spent. You know, you're almost at $11.1 billion. And really, it's not reflected at all in the share price. So some would argue that it's a fairly chunky number to have a look at. And now, you know, this is the real crux of the matter. Can they bring it on stream? Will it actually phase up as it should? But certainly if they can pass that, I think there's a lot of upside momentum for that share price.
Question coming through from Greg EOH. He says, I'll hold some, maybe a 3 to 5 year outlook. Stock you would be holding at this point, certainly, and what was 180 and now down in the 40. The market's light. So let me rephrase that. The stock has moved up from, what, 30 to 40 in the back of the corporate activity and all of that. Your take on EOH?
Yeah, so then in the midst of quite a significant restructuring, I mean, we've seen change in leadership, and that, I think, was one of the reasons for the recent sort of share strength, and then the split of the two companies and the capitalization led by Bashir. So I think it's all positive, so in terms of sort of stemming the tide and steadying the ship, So it remains to be seen, I guess, operationally where the business is going to from here, because I think they do need to bed down the acquisitions and the restructuring, and hopefully that doesn't take, I guess, their eye off the ball in terms of market and delivery. So it's a sort of a work in progress. I think you'd need to get quite close to the business, close to management, get a better understanding of their plans and do they sound coherent. We've found it just sort of too many moving parts to really like it, so I'd rather like to see a bit more progress in terms of the restructuring and the implementation of the new management team before I think we would get positive on the stock.
Nick, I mean, one of the issues they have is acquisition just gets harder and harder to move the dial as you get bigger and bigger.
I think they've been at pains to say, and I probably do give them the benefit of the doubt here, that if you have a look at the potential opportunities for them, really there are many opportunities out there.
Sure.
So I don't think
share is single digit.
Yes, that's probably fair as well. So I think that the acquisitions they can continue to make, it your bigger issue that they have really is raising finance for that. So, you know, when you've had as much of a share price crisis as they've experienced in the last 18 months, I think it puts significant pressure and significant fear into anyone that's forwarding you or giving you sort of credit. So,
yeah.
And in the midst of that, they've also had working capital issues as well, which have again led to a little bit of a cash crunch as well. So provided they get through that, I think the longer term perspective looks pretty good, but you are in the midst of a lot of change at the moment. So it is quite a risky proposition as to whether to jump in now or wait, probably for a higher share price, but wait for it to have played itself out.
Higher share price, lower risk environment. And that's often the trade-off. 100%. And it's a trade-off. You know, you've got to decide, do you want to go risky and low or safer and higher?
Yep.
A question coming through around from Ndu is the swap Discovery for FirstRand.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I guess you've got Discovery. They used to be, I guess, more closely related than they are.
Yeah.
FirstRand to some extent incubated Discovery. You do have Discovery and RMI as well. I guess they're actually in two different sectors. There are elements that overlap, I guess, in terms of interest rate sensitive and more broadly financial services. Obviously, they're starting to step a little bit more into each other's territory, particularly with Discovery launching its banking services. From a valuation perspective, it is sounding quite interesting, though. I think Discovery's got quite a lot baked into that share price in terms of expectations. Some of these new initiatives sort of value already ascribed to them, whereas we've seen the local banking stocks under quite a lot of pressure. FirstRand is a quality operation with quality management. They have delivered. They're doing some interesting extension into the UK, for example, so more dollar rand hedge, mm-hmm. pound earnings there. So it would possibly be an interesting point to look at a switch.
Would you take a switch there?
So I think the valuation argument is an argument well made. I also think, exactly like we talked with regards to Sasol, when you're entering a whole new phase where you're putting a lot of capital, arguably there might need to be a capital raise as well to sort of fund the bank. This is a significant call on whether management can actually deliver what is effectively, although in financial services, quite a different business model from what they've historically done. If one believes they can, as Rowan has mentioned, I think some of that is in the share price. But again, we talk about it relative to DOH. There's a fair amount of risk here of issues, especially on a share that is as loftily priced as Discovery is.
And make no bones, we can see Discovery cross-selling the heck out of their bank.
Mm.
We can also see this is a well-banked market. I want to say overbanked, but if not, I mean, there are a lot of banks out there, and we've got bank accounts.
But Discovery has been very good at cross-selling and going into any space, whether you thought that it was, there was capacity there for them to make an entrance, they have managed to dislocate other guys. So you would expect them to at least give it a good go in terms of trying to attract clients and premium clients.
Yeah, and then track my purchases. I don't want them tracking my Friday night box store.
The big brother
purchases.
Is here.
question coming from Jono asking about Libstar. For the long term, I don't know. I can we politely say they were a dodgy listing? Is that? I mean, they came to my view expensive. An $800 million special dividend just ahead. Trading update last week was ugly.
Yeah, so I think to be kind, you would say opportunistic. So,
that was the word I was looking for.
it certainly was. It was the late end of the cycle, I think, just in terms of listing capital raisings. We've had a fair amount. It didn't look premium. As you say, the balance sheet had been weakened substantially. Significant realization by the private equity players, and I think they had some question marks around them.
Well, Braj has gone into liquidation.
Exactly. The time. So it clearly didn't look like quality. The timing, I guess, they kind of found a window and they squeaked it through. The recent trading update, pretty disappointing, I guess, given the recent listing. We know the market is quite tough, but still, so quite a significant overhang there. I think wait for results, have a look, hear what management have got to say. I think the underlying brands are fairly good. They sort of are a competitor, and they have quite a possibly agile business, and they can add acquisitions. So it could be interesting at lower levels here, but I want to see what the story looks like.
And that's a good point. A trading update tells us some story, in this case about mushrooms and the like, but the results are going to give us, sometimes you don't need the results. You can go on a trading update.
Yes.
This is perhaps the time you do want those results.
I agree.
Nick, your take on Libstar?
So I think there's no doubt that it is a tough environment out there at the moment. So one can have a look at the other food producers, have a look at Tiger Brands' trading update. I mean, this is a tough environment, but I would find it very disappointing for a company to list and sort of almost immediately next set of results in down 50 or 60% in earnings. So you know what, I would go in it with a very conservative outlook and rather cynical, and if they manage to impress me at results and have decent reasons for what has actually happened, something that I can buy, possibly something to have a look at. I would be quite cynical at looking at them now.
Jörg's got way more practiced at words than me. Question coming through around Grindrod, which I have to be honest, is a stock I kind of taken my eye off. They've broken up, they've got rid of the ships, which was what Grindrod was, but of course it isn't anymore. Is now the new Grindrod without the ships looking attractive?
Yeah, so I guess you would say the ships with the anchor weighing them down has been unbundled now. So I think it is a clearer play on logistics, African logistics growth, ports and rail. So it looks a little bit neater, and the bank as well. So, it has been significantly beaten down, the stock. It's been, I guess, a very big disappointment overall. Remgro put a lot of capital into it, and it hasn't performed well. So as a smaller, more focused operation, I think it can do better. It's a sort of play on African trade and African growth, and I think if you're optimistic about that for the medium term, it is a lot more reasonably priced. They came with an update recently as well, and that was more positive. Lower base, but at least going in the right direction. So possibly interesting at these levels.
Nick, we'll get your view after the break. Quick break, send through your questions. SMS 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. Right back after this. Welcome back. Having a quick look at how international markets are performing. Across in the US, we're green across the board. The S&P 500 up 0.25%. The Nasdaq was red earlier, now just over 0.1% higher. And the Dow Jones trading 0.33% into the green. Across in Europe, another green day again across the board. The FTSE 100 almost 0.5% up in London. CAC around 40 out of Paris, almost 0.67% up. And the DAX out of Frankfurt, just a few points shy of 1% up on the day. Questions coming through around Pepkor. Was Steinhoff Retail Africa quickly changed their name?
Yeah, it'll be quick.
Still got Steinhoff as a very significant majority shareholder. Some troubling times with Techie Town, although that may be sorted, but new brands coming. Your take on Pepkor, because classic Pep is quality.
Yes, I think the Pepkor asset itself is an attractive asset. I think will do quite nicely. I think, unfortunately, they have been caught in this position where you've got significant Steinhoff shareholding, a majority shareholder by a way. You've then got infighting, and you understandably infighting between certain assets that were sort of stripped out and bought out by Steinhoff. So that's Techie Town. I see they will be bringing 50 or 60 stores to compete.
Yeah, Mr. Techie, I think.
Mr. Techie. So there definitely is a little bit of competition there. At the moment, I'm not sure it's 100% investable, mainly because of the unknowns, and there just are so many out there. But it's certainly on a watch list that one needs to understand.
One of those unknowns is the overhang of stock. That's 70-odd percent.
Correct.
That Steinhoff. The problem with selling is that then the money's in South Africa and they need it in Europe.
Aside from those complexities, okay. But I think that complexity is a significant complexity. You need Reserve Bank approval to exit these sort of things. So we know that the debt is housed now from a Steinhoff perspective outside of these shores. They desperately would like the cash, but I'm not sure our Reserve Bank is going to be too happy to give it to them. So in that case, you're going to sit on an asset that is a pretty good asset, and ultimately it's going to potentially, I suppose, hurt price discovery for other shareholders that don't want to be associated with anything to do with Steinhoff. It is as it is for the time being.
Yeah, it's one of these sort of vexing investment opportunities because, as you say, like the underlying assets are quality and they're quite attractive. And I think in barring all of the noise and issues, it would be trading a lot higher. But you can't get away from all these facts and this overhang and the uncertainty that it's creating. And you also can't see sort of a clear path out of it in the short term. So it sort of just hangs over it, and I think that's why it's quite range-bound in this sort of, 16 to 17 rand. And until we see some clarity on that, I can't see it moving out. So if you're a long-term investor, you might want to consider it, but you got to be patient.
You might get the same price this time next year or the year after. Growthpoint, a stock that hasn't popped up on my screen in an age. The granddaddy of South African property, not so much anymore. I mean, it used to be them and one or two others. Obviously, V&A, some Australian assets as well. Growthpoint on your list?
Yeah, look, it's certainly a quality counter. I mean, the management have been reasonably conservative. If we look at all the ups and downs in the rest of the property sector, they've been sort of focused on their business and quality assets. They've been quite conservative with international expansion. The GOS in the UK, in Australia actually has been very profitable and positive for them. So clean balance sheet. They do have exposure to a broad range of assets. Office is obviously under a lot of pressure at the moment, so they can't get away from that. But you have seen it perform reasonably well at the beginning of the year as we saw bond yields come down. So it is a bit of a bond proxy and economy proxy. So can't get too excited about it just because of the economy right now.
Mm-hmm. So I like the stock. I also think that currently, from a valuation kind of perspective, it's trading beneath its net asset value, which is historically doesn't really happen.
It's a rarity in this market.
It is a significant asset, so it has a significant tail of assets as well. You wouldn't expect growth to come through rampantly through their sort of portfolio. However, I think it's a very conservative entry level to get exposure into a property sort of space and quality assets. So yeah, I like it.
Okay, so conservative. How about Group 5?
Less conservative.
Construction broadly. I mean, the only one that seems to be holding up is Wilson Bailey. Murray's because there's a 17 rand Aton offer. Any of them attractive to you?
Well, you know what? So you've got Wilson Bailey. Arguably, you've got Raubex. Other than that, it looks like it's pretty much death out there for the listed property players. Certainly, we know in South Africa that we need infrastructure to spend to come through. But from a government perspective, there just isn't the money available. Mm-hmm. There isn't the balance sheet. And there's, significant, delays on tenders done by the previous administration. And now, opposed to accelerating spend or even just spending at the same rate, there's been a lot of hold-on contracts as well. And we can see with these players, Group 5, ESOR, others, administration is looming. Whether they'll be here, I have my doubts.
Yeah, Basil Reed, another one just in recently.
Yeah, certainly speculative. I think if you look at the sum of the parts here, there may be still value.
There's
I mean,
that they do Eastern have European concession.
Yeah, so they, and I think you were saying, offered 2 billion rand.
Yeah, Green Bay offered 2, maybe 1.5 billion, a lot more than current market.
Yeah. So obviously the debt, you've got to weigh off against that and contingent liabilities, et cetera. So it is quite complicated. And I guess you've got to hope that management can sort of somehow retain the value. So it probably makes sense to take the thing apart, but they seem to have just hung on to all the assets too long, like a lot of these guys. And you've just seen the value completely destroyed, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they rejected the Green Bay property, saying you're undervaluing us. And truthfully, I think it probably valued the whole business at zero, except for those concessions. A question coming through from Dion, looking for a long-term share with reliable growing dividend, Coronation or Woolies? Sorry, my bad, from Hunts. Coronation or Woolies? I mean, different beasts in different places. One dying on their jaunt off to Australia. The other one struggling in a market which isn't giving asset managers much to make money from.
Yeah, look, the asset management industry, it's mature. It's changing. We're seeing a lot of pressure on fees and a drive to passive investing and indexation. So, and I think that is a medium-term trend. So it's going to remain difficult for them. Plus, you mentioned markets aren't really playing ball either. They've traditionally been a very strong yielder, so that's been a good reason to hold them. But it feels like it's quite mature as a business. They have been shedding some assets. So, yeah, hard to see the growth. I think Woolies is a much more interesting proposition. As you mentioned, misadventure in Australia weighing heavily on the stock price. The food business actually in South Africa doing incredibly well. That's obviously the jewel in the crown. I think the clothing business could do better, but it looks pretty cheap right here. And I think they could steady the ship in Australia, smaller business, still profitable, and I think it's got potentially a lot of value.
Oh, I thought it was cheap at 70, I thought it was cheap at 60. I'm not quoting nothing. A question from Michael. He's saying, I don't hold any banks in my diversified portfolio. Should I be adding?
For somebody that has no banks, yes, I would definitely have
Which
a look
one?
At adding. So I would stick with the quality, which would probably be a First Rand and a Standard Bank over let's say the other three. Less risk, better sort of assets, significant sort of assets, less turnarounds when having a look at let's say Absa. And I think the market is pricing these quite attractive at the moment. Now, you know, it's the one said thing for banks, that they're pretty much relative to the rest of the market, they're always cheap.
Yep.
Doesn't matter what happens, so one can't only buy them on valuation. But I think if one does subscribe into a medium-term turnaround in South Africa, then certainly these prices are looking very attractive, and certainly we do believe in that longer-term sort of turnaround and positive sort of sentiment coming back. So I would definitely look at it.
And if we can get those HEPS growth to low double digit from the current low single digit, nice dividend yield flowing there, would you put a bank, which would be your pick?
Yeah, so I agree. I agree, stick with quality. I mean, there are interesting plays in terms of entering banks through other holding companies as well. Old Mutual's quite interesting.
Sure.
It still owns half of Nedbank. You're probably going to get some of those shares directly out of Old Mutual come the end of the year. So that's another way to play it and diversify your risk away. Yeah, they all look pretty good. They've all got sort of their pros and cons. I mean, First Rand, best performance, but it is a slightly premium stock. Nedbank looks pretty cheap right now. And Absa, I guess, if you believe in the turnaround management's ability to execute on that huge cash pile that was left behind from Barclays, they could become a competitor, and it's quite cheap. So I think it depends on, you know, what suits you as an investor.
Pepcor, we've touched on quick before we go to stock picks, Bidcorp.
Yeah, so that's certainly a quality rand hedge. I think it had been very highly valued coming out of Bidvest, and the execution had been really good. I think in a nice niche, a big niche, food services, but and globally, so has done really well. The share had been under a little bit of pressure recently. We had seen some weakness in food services stocks in the U.S., which I think was weighing on it, not that they have any exposure there currently. So it also had a little bit of a bid premium, but we have seen obviously the rand weaken, and we've seen it perform quite well recently, coming out with results, I think, in 2 days' time.
Yep.
So I think you can wait and get a sense, but interesting here.
Nick, we'll get your view next. next time because we have stock picks to go to. You're going with CAP or CARP or CAP?
CUP.
CUP.
So not the most exciting of shares out there, but again, another one almost like Pepkor that has had certain Steinhoff overhang issues over the last, year. And I suppose the difference here is that Steinhoff still own around 25% of it, but it's certainly a minority interest. I'm not sure they're going to get rid of it anytime soon. Overriding that, I think management came up with results about a week ago, and the results themselves, while slightly disappointing from expectations a year ago, I think if you take into consideration the economy as we find it, as well as the Steinhoff complications that came through, they were a good set of results, and ultimately I think are primed for actually even better results in the next year and a half. So certainly one at these sort of prices that I'd have a look at.
And playing into your thesis from a moment ago of things looking better locally in 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, so it all comes down to prices. And again, this is almost what you talk about with Bidcorp, is your Rand hedges, they might be quality assets, but a lot is baked into that in terms of a Rand that has blown out. So if one expects the Rand to come back, the share price is not going to do anything, even though it's a quality asset. And likewise here, we've had some disappointing news out of South Africa. We've had an EOM sort of sell-off, but a lot of these South African assets are priced as though no turnaround will happen.
Nothing will happen. Remgro.
Yeah, so I've been at the risk of being even more boring than Nick, I guess. But the investment thesis is pretty much the same. I mean, you've got a portfolio of quality South African assets trading at a discount on top of that. So it's around 20% by the looks of it at the moment. You're getting First Rand, you're getting RMI, you're getting some big industrial assets, unlisted industrial assets as well, and of course Mediclinic, which hasn't performed particularly well. A little bit of a mixture of Rand hedge. They've got a lot of offshore exposure, but I think better priced at these levels. So I guess a portfolio of quality assets at a discount.
20% discount.
Yeah.
Nope, can't argue with that. Thanks to our guests, Nick Crowell from Ashburton Investments, going with CUP.
CUP.
And Rowan Williams from Nitrogen Fund Managers, going with Remgro. We'll take more of your stock-related questions tomorrow. Have a great evening.